Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Sans Pants Radio, X is going to give it to you. Hey everybody, if you didn't know, it's Melbourne International Comedy Festival season, and that means it's about time you picked a show to come watch. So, might I recommend Big Deal, a nightmare game show hosted by me and starring a whole bunch of Sans Pants people and comedians. It's sort of like the game show equivalent of standing directly on a nail in bare feet. Grab your tickets from the Melbourne International Comedy Festival website or from our own website, sanspantsradio.com/live. Additionally, if you head to sanspantsradio.com/merch, you can pick up some limited edition pins featuring our logos and also my face. Finally, if you head to our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/sanspantsradio, you can watch Zamet, Cass, Adam, and myself play board games every Friday from around midday.
Hey everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for everyone whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel.
And today we're looking at The Forest and other games.
The Forest.
So The Forest is a...
Can't see the forest through the trees or whatever.
That's it. You did it, guys. The Forest is, I guess, a story survival game. It came out a while ago, and it was one of those games that was in sort of early access for a really long time.
What console?
You're thinking of it for the PS4 and the PC.
What did you play it on?
I've played it on both.
Okay.
The PC and the PS4.
So is it one of those things where it's like, we like this game, it's a good concept, but we have no fun, pay now first?
Yeah, and for it was one of those games as well, because basically the idea is that you are dropped in the middle of like kind of the Pacific Northwest in America. Lots of tall pine trees, lots of pretty creeks, deer, that kind of stuff. And you've got to survive, and there's kind of like a story element to it. And I remember all of the trailers made it look really impressive, mm-hmm. So a lot of people got on it when it sort of...
Trailers are spooky.
Yeah, oh yeah, it's very stressful. It's a very spooky game. Yeah, I got it on the PC back then. This was a while ago, like maybe a year ago, when it was still early access, and I tried to play it. My PC could kind of run it, but I think, look, it had some problems then. I couldn't get into it. But then it came out on the PS4, I think late last year. And I finally decided, you know what, I'm going to give it a go. I love survival games. It's like my favorite genre, so maybe I'll enjoy it. And I think when I first played it, I kind of really hated it. And I think that's because it's not really a survival game.
Mm.
So it's more like a Minecraft than a The Long Dark.
Yeah, it looked more like a building a camp game.
And when I realized that, I actually had quite a good time. Mm. Because I think a survival game, like, it should be hard to survive. Mm. This game is only hard to survive because, spoilers, not only is it just you and the wilderness, there's also a group of mutant cannibals that are around and come and watch you. And this was a big, like, selling point early on that, like, they won't immediately attack. You'll build your camp and they'll just be on, like, the edges of the camp watching you and just checking you out, and then if you're aggressive to them, they'll attack you, and then the longer you're there, the more they're like, oh no, we gotta get him, and that's kind of like where the danger comes from. But like, getting food is not hard. You start with a hatchet, and birds will land on rocks, and they're so slow. I've hatcheted heaps of birds in the air, which is really funny. I fly by and I'm just like, wallop! Dead bird.
Hitting a bird out of the sky with an axe rules.
It's great.
This could be my game of the year.
Powerful.
But sometimes it's very frustrating, because I can hit them when they're in the air, but when they're on a rock, my axe goes right through them when they've landed, and that's very frustrating, and it'll be like, whoop, and the bird will just fly past my head, and I'll be like, but I
can you eat the rocks?
I'm so hungry. No, but you can pick them up. So, and in the game that I've currently, I have a basket full of rocks. So, la-di-da.
What I love about this game is you can pick up anything and attack people with anything.
Yeah.
My favorite was watching you attack things with a dead lizard.
Yeah, I killed a lizard with a hatchet, skinned it, then just started walloping things with the hatchet.
With a lizard,
you know. Lizard, sorry. So I think once I started to think of it as like more of a Minecraft game, because again, yeah, that's what I was going to say. So like, finding water and food should be a struggle. In this, again, you hit a bird out of the sky, you cook it on your fire, you're good. You go to a creek and you drink from it. Whenever I drink from creeks, I get really damaged. I don't know why.
Poison water?
We assume.
Yeah,
that.
I thought that, but then also blood comes all around the screen. So I don't know if that's just the you've been damaged animation or if something else is happening.
I like the idea that you've been attacked from behind every time you're doing this, you just haven't noticed.
But that's what again, I thought at first, but then I look around, yeah. I can't see anything.
So. Thinking, like, you've caught yourself on fire and blood doesn't appear on the screen.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just really not sure what's happening there.
How you put yourself out, Dusha, if you're on fire?
With a hatchet?
No, I got a beard.
Yeah, so in The Long Dark, say, a game I talked about last week.
My answer wasn't as dumb as I thought.
You catch fire. Well, I mean, you can't, but I feel like The Long Dark, if you could catch fire, you just die.
Yeah.
In this game,
severe burns. Yeah. Nah,
The Long Dark would do a thing of, like, you're on fire. It wouldn't kill you straight away, but there would be nothing to stop that problem.
Yeah. Mm.
And it would kill you. Mm. It would just make
you... Be like, severe burns. Every footstep will hurt you. Now you need to sleep for 8 days.
Yeah, yeah. Apply cream. Don't have cream.
Kill
guess
this
what?
Specific that bug sucks. To get the cream. To look after your body. But this game, I caught fire and Zama was like, what are you going to do? And I just went to bed.
And that worked?
When I woke up, I was fine. You know what they say, stop, drop, and roll is old news.
Stop, drop, and go sleep. To bed.
I mean, you did wake up thirsty, but that might have just not been, that might just not be related.
Man, all that burning to death really made me quite parched.
What do the graphics look like? Because I'm imagining in my head like Minecraft.
No, it's very pretty. It's very pretty. It's
that makes it so much funnier.
Like full, you know, everything
so
looks
like,
really
nice. So like
it
looks nice. More like the
like
Long
HD. Dark. The Long Dark's really stylized. This isn't.
Yeah,
it's tried its best to look really realistic. Which for
that
me
is so funny.
For me, I don't love because for me, the more realistic it is, the more in the uncanny valley I am. And every time, say, my hatchet goes through a bird, I'm like. But it's everything else looks so real. Or like you chop down a tree, the tree falls and splits into 8 logs. And I'm like, but it's realistic. So that immediately brings me out of the game, which is really annoying.
This rules so much.
And like, because you can pick up logs and you can like just heft them up with no problem.
Oh yeah, you can carry maximum 2 massive logs at a time over your shoulder. I quite like the way the crafting system works. So... Instead of it being like you build the thing and then place it, you basically place like a ghost version of it and then it'll have the ingredients you need to build the thing. You can build anything from the beginning and you just need to gather those ingredients, go over to the kind of like shimmering, this is what you are trying to build form, click on it, boop, and eventually over time it'll build. And when I was playing just before we started recording this episode, but I was building a log cabin. And that was really satisfying because I needed heaps of logs. And I just slowly deforested the area around where I was building the cabin.
Yeah.
And being like, oh, I've built like a little bit of the cabin over the course of a day. I reckon 2 days I'll have this cabin up. That was kind of satisfying. Then I got the cabin up and because of, I think, a graphical error, I have to jump to get into the door. Like, I think I built it on a slope in such a way that I can't just walk in. I need to jump something to get inside. And also...
I hope that's just a design of the game.
It might be. I don't know.
Can you build steps?
Yes, but I can't build steps that connect to the cabin. I can build... So you can build, obviously, just structures, like buildings, but you could also build, like, wall with window, wall with door, so that you could decide on, like, the length and
like
shape.
Like Minecraft.
Yeah, like Minecraft. Like Minecraft, with Minecraft, you could also just craft, like, log
house.
Cabin. Yeah. So I wish
you could do that in Minecraft. But
sometimes you don't want to build a house. You just want a house there.
Well, often, and listeners, this is my go-to strategy in Minecraft. Once I have a shovel, I just dig down and my house becomes underground.
Yeah.
Why?
Best roof is dirt above your head.
Dig underground, eat carrots.
Yeah.
Live the life of a rabbit. That's it.
Also, because like when you get underwater, underground, you find an underwater stream, then just dig a hole so then you can have an underground farm as well.
Yeah.
All you need is torches to light up the...
You never need to live on the earth, the
you know
surface.
What? You know what's bad above ground in Minecraft? Everything. You
surface
know what's better?
Dwellers can go to hell.
Yes, and they often do, because that's where all the bad things are.
That's true. So, yeah, I think the fact that it is...
I hate creepers. Anyway, continue.
Should get that on a shirt. yeah, the fact that it looks so realistic really kind of detracts from the whole thing. The UI is pretty good. When I first played it back in the PC, it was really... It was like this big book, really confusing, wasn't clear. They've kind of totally stripped it back and made it a lot more usable. It's still a bit frustrating, but it's basically like you open a book. The book has various tabs that are like, these are things you can build. Traps, walls, storage containers, rafts. There's a whole section dedicated to boats for some reason.
Is there ocean?
No, there's lots of lakes and rivers though, so I guess.
You can build a boat in Minecraft too and no one ever does.
Yeah, that's true. What's terrible, the boat in Minecraft?
Yeah, it sucks.
It breaks really easily.
Buy a horse. Wait, buy a horse.
Buy a horse from the Minecraft online store. so that's quite nice. One thing that I think is really cool about this game is that it kind of has like a two-death system. So if you die, that's not immediately it, go back to your previous save. You appear underground hanging by your leg in a cave owned by the mutant cannibals, and you have to grab your hatchet from the floor, chop the rope attached to your legs, and climb your way back out. Mm-hmm. Or you can die in there, and then you go back to your previous save. I've only ever died in the cave. I don't know how to get out. I got very lost and was eaten by one of the cannibal ghouls.
See, I like the idea of that, but say after, like, the 10th death or whatever, you're hanging up and you've escaped whatever, sure you're like, man, these ghouls are idiots.
Yeah, I think
you'd
also
just...
Why do
they keep just hanging me up like I'm some kind of Christmas ornament?
I think you'd also just get bored of it. Like, you're like, just kill me so I can go back to what I was in the middle of doing.
Just let me die,
just
idiots.
Please.
Because, like, imagine you're in the middle of building a cabin or you're building, like, one of the many traps, yeah. And you're like really excited, you're really close. Oh no, I drank from a river and died. And then you're like, now I gotta get out of the cave, I gotta make it all the way back up. I don't know, like just being able to go back to your
just
previous
grab
save.
Your hatchet and
yeah, slice your head off.
So it's like, that's cool. No, wait, no, I hate it.
It's a neat idea, but it's just really not. If it was like you're underground and it's very quick to get out of the cave, maybe I'd be okay with it,
yeah,
but it's just not.
Or if then that becomes. It's like one of those things where it's either that has to be, yeah, it needs to be really quick to go back to your camp, or then this is a new game.
Yeah, yeah.
Like this, oh, okay, I thought I was doing a,
this
like
is the next
a
part.
Minecraft survival. Like, you know,
now it's like a survival horror.
Okay, cool.
Okay. There is a story, so basically you begin on a plane with your son. Your son's reading a book about survival. You look over and you're like, sick book, son, and then you crash, and then you wake up and it's like, find Timmy or whatever, find the rest of the cabin crew. But what's annoying is
have
that
you found your son yet?
It's I don't know how.
Okay.
The map
he's
is
dead.
The map
yeah.
is well, yeah, definitely. He's eaten by the cannibals, basically. But the map the map is huge and it doesn't give you a direction. And I don't know, maybe that's fun for some people, but the idea of just walking in a direction and hoping I come across my son, that's kind of annoying for me. I feel like the story and the gameplay don't really mesh well together in this game, especially when it's like, find your son, build a cabin. You're like, but I'm building a cabin. Why am I settling down? My son's being eaten by cannibals. So that's, yeah, that's kind of annoying. And it's like, yeah, same thing. Find the cabin crew or like the passengers in the plane. And I have the manifest of the plane that tells me their names. Once when I was in a cave and running away from the ghouls, I walked down a smaller cave and I found a whole bunch of stuff from the plane. I don't know.
That's probably a sign to go in that direction.
No, it was just empty. It was like a room with a dead end. And I was like, good. And I checked my to-do list and I still hadn't, it hadn't ticked like you found them. Also, it was like, make a camp was my first thing. And I made a camp and it was still not happy. I didn't get the tick of you've made a camp. I made a shelter and a bonfire. Surely that's camp made, right?
Has other things been ticked on it?
Yeah.
Huh.
I don't know. So that's kind of annoying. I'd like a little bit. I know I often on Thumb Cramps, I'm like, I need more direction. I didn't read it properly, but I did this time, and I'm still very lost.
I hope that through Thumb Cramps that we have taught you that sometimes you have to read a little bit, otherwise you will get mercilessly mocked.
There actually wasn't much to read in this, but I've looked through the whole book.
You haven't learned a lesson at all.
I've looked through the whole book. It doesn't tell me nothing. I don't know where to go. I found a massive hole in the ground, like a giant crater, and it's like, find a way down. What? Why would I do that?
That's cool.
Insane instruction. Imagine you're stranded in the wilderness and you see a cavern. You're not going to be like, man, got to get to the bottom of that. There's mutants everywhere. What if there's further mutants in the hole?
Good mutants.
This is something that another problem I have with it that is not a massive deal, certainly not a deal breaker, probably not even going to make it lose any points in the final score, but I just find it annoying. In the settings, I can't turn off motion blur, and motion blur is sometimes such like a detriment to the game. Like, it makes it kind of look not as great. It kind of blurs everything. You get a bit dizzy, but there's just no way to change it, and I think that's very annoying. I know you can in the PC, so I don't know why it's not available in the PS4. What else did I dislike?
What else did I hate about this game? I hate.
I don't hate it, but I can just very much see myself getting bored.
Yeah.
I built that cabin in 3 days and it was awesome.
Yeah.
The idea of doing it again has become frustrating. Mm. I built some things with like collecting sticks and building them, and I'm like, cool. And then I'm like, I'm just doing the same thing again and again.
It seems very samey. I think, like, towards when you start getting it bigger and bigger and bigger, and then say the mutant ghouls attack, and you got to like build structures and build fences and traps. That seems kind of interesting.
That seems like it could be fun. But then there's stuff like, I don't know. What am I trying to say here? So it's like, make a stone wall out of rocks, and you can only hold like five rocks at a time. The wall takes five rocks. It's just, I don't know, it's just really slow going. Like, yeah. I think in a game that is kind of almost basing, not basing itself on that Minecraft model, but that has that Minecraft sensibility. In Minecraft, you can have 64 of an item. You know what I mean?
And it rules.
And it's great because you're like, I'm just here to build. But then in this, you've got that realism over the top of it.
It seems like they're being like, all right, well, we're trying to do a Minecraft sort of like,
or like a creative kind of thing,
but also one of that survival things. There's some aspects of realism, so you can only carry, you know, five rocks at a time, but you know, you can just heft two very big tree logs by yourself. But you know, you can hatchet a bird from the sky.
Exactly.
But, you know, there's a limitation of how many birds you can carry,
and you're like, you kind of can't have it both ways. Mm. The forest, pick one or the other, or get your synergy better in combining the two. Mm. You can play it co-op with a friend. Dusha, if you're interested, get it for your PS4 and we'll play online.
We'll hatch birds
out of the sky together.
Imagine if I play, I'm like, oh, Jackson says to do this thing to build a camp.
Yeah, Jackson says this is, it describes what a camp is, and it also tells you where your son is.
Exactly, straight away.
Jackson, what's this arrow? Where's this arrow pointing?
Find your son in the big crater. Man, why do they want me to go in the crater? Where's my son?
I hate this crater and sun end game.
I hate this crazy game.
I'm thinking, because you can build like little storage places for like rocks.
Also,
it'd be nice if you, when you were building something and it was like, oh, it needs X many rocks. If you have it in your storage bin.
Yeah, it just can take it from the storage bin.
Jack, I know that you've played a lot of survival games, and I don't want to tell you how to play your game.
Please.
Have you ever thought that maybe the crazy goals that it's giving you are actually directions, because it wants you to go into the crater, because then that will give you another thing.
I get which will
lead you to your son.
I get that the crater is the next location to go to.
I get that the crater contains my son. I know that. I'm aware. I just don't want to.
But I don't know. It's still,
because you're role playing in your head, and when you're role playing in your head as a survivor, you're like, I'm not going in a crater.
Like, why would I go in a crater? And also the crater,
even though the game is like, go in the crater.
Obviously, in the crater is what's going to progress the story. And also, the crater is surrounded by ghouls, which kill me in like three hits. So I'm like, I guess I got to kill more lizards to make more lizard armor before I go down there. Oh, another frustrating thing. So I have a hatchet, right? If I hatchet any of the things I've built, a little symbol comes up that's like, oh, you'll destroy it. Don't hit it with your hatchet. I found a spear. Everything gets broken if I spear it in one hit. I was like, oh, what happens if I psh, and then my like traps broke, my fire exploded. I'm like, why is my spear so strong?
Your log cabins let it fall.
Yeah,
apart.
I'm like, will it destroy the whole cabin? I hit it once, my cabin's like, I'm like, oh my god, it's a stick.
I love that spear.
It's too powerful.
Is that spear your son?
You can build a log cabin in 3 days, but spear it in three thrusts.
I think ultimately, I just wish the game had either chosen to be a complete, you know, like kind of building, crafting game, a complete survival game, or a complete survival horror game.
Yeah.
And they try to do all three, you end up not being very good at any, basically. Focus in, and I'm sure I'd have a great time. And also, I always prefer a game that looks stylistically interesting rather than realistic. And unfortunately, because this game's gone realistic, it's just, I don't know, something about that is bad.
Something about also, that is not also, as enjoyable.
Also, you haven't really explained, say, the mutants well enough to Dusha, because it's body horror. Sometimes there is a man with a hand octopus for dudes. A face.
Oh, what?
And, like, slug
How
guys.
Do you hate this game? This rules!
Oh, that's one other thing I was going to say, is I went on the
this
wiki...
This better not be a negative.
No, this is just another baffling thing. I went on the wiki, and I'm like, man, what am I meant to do? Because I wanted a little bit of instruction. And there's, like, a whole story with a secret research facility. It's like, oh, yeah, the late game boss. I'm like, what? What is going to happen to me? So there's a whole bunch of story that I'm not super clear on how I'm meant to access yet.
I mean, we know how to get it.
In the crater, yes. But I'm sure I'll get to it eventually. But it seems like a game with a lot of narrative depth.
Okay.
So, look, we'll see. So I guess ultimately, again, I've played like a decent chunk of it, but, you know, I'm still just surviving. So I might give it maybe 3 thumbs.
That rules. I'm giving it 5 thumbs because it sounds like it's going to change my life.
Yeah, I reckon.
Hands for heads. Lost son.
Where is he? He's in the crater.
Breaking a house with a spear. This rules.
I might make actually that 2 thumbs and a knock.
Well, I'm still making mine 5 thumbs.
I'm taking
2.5 and we got
a 5.
A 5 over there. That's real cool. Okay.
What have you been playing, Zammit?
Before you tell us what you've been playing, Zammit, let's just have a quick word from our sponsors.
Also, let me remind you that this Melbourne International Comedy Festival, I'm going to be hosting a horrible game show called Big Deal, and I'll be Mondo Big Bucks upset if you don't come. Grab your tickets from our website, sanspantsradio.com/live.
Well, I've been playing a game called Catastronauts. Well, actually, we've all been playing a game called Catastronauts.
Is this a group review?
I guess technically, but I'm going to take we point because I'm going to be the loudest. It's a game where you just cannot play this game solo.
I'd never actually considered that. So yeah, as you alluded to earlier in your sentence, before I rudely cut you off.
Yes.
Yeah, we played it as a group.
No, I think the way you play it solo is that each stick controls a guy.
Oh, yeah. No. So I was going to be like, because I didn't even consider the fact that this is like how the game would operate as a one person thing.
Yeah,
terribly.
But you 2 thumbs doing 2 guys.
Yeah,
not good. Not good. Dabbled a little bit over and be like, okay, I can see maybe the first few. So basically, it's like, if you've ever played Overcooked, this is basically like Overcooked in space. So it is a couch co-op. There is no multiplayer online. And as we just sort of alluded to before, the solo play is garbage. Mm-hmm. So,
as we have referenced, we have played this couch co-op.
Yes.
As alluded to, not solo.
So the game is you are all members of a space fleet. You're kind of all either like the jumpers colors of basically Star Trek. The animation or the art style is very sort of cutesy, kind of humorous. You've got big old heads. It's all very cartoony. You can kind of see what everything is from a distance. You'd be like, ah, yes, I'm the green blob. Ah, yes, I'm the one with red hair. And so you kind of do that. It's very similar to Overcooked in that everyone has a role to play, or there is a lot of things to do. And so the way you succeed and pass the level is if everyone, you know, cooperates. Mm. So you are all in a ship, and the storyline is very basic, is that another alien ship is attacking you, and you have to destroy it before it destroys you. And it starts off very basic of like, cool, well, look, you got to repair some damage, you got to put out fires, and you got to shoot a gun. All right, that's what you got to do. And then each level kind of adds something new to it. So it's like, all right, well, now you got to be careful of the guns. You got to either hold them down or they overheat, or you got to prep some, torpedoes,
yeah,
or do something with nukes, et cetera, et cetera. Oh, okay, now you got a cooling thing. So it kind of escalates the challenge as it sort of goes on, which is kind of neat and cool. So it kind of combines Overcooked with another game that we've played and we really like, Faster Than Light.
Yeah.
So There is that aspect. However, it is more Overcooked than Faster Than Light. What I love about Faster Than Light is that you can kind of customize the ship how you want to do it. Everything is very randomized, and so you can kind of be like, oh, okay, maybe I want to, you know, use the teleportation bay, and basically I'm just going to go across to the opposition's ships and, you know, get in some punch-ons. Or it's like, you know what, my strategy is going to be to, you know, shut off their oxygen and make them die of suffocation. That's going to be great. This one, it's very much like each level, this is the layout of the ship, this is the challenge, this is the problem, you know, cop it. And that's fine. It just makes me, it kind of made me wish that there was a game kind of like that really combined the fast and light aspect along with that Overcooked aspect of like, hey, look, there's stuff to do and we're going to build the ship and everyone has a role
especially
to play.
Especially because like in Faster Than Light, the fun thing to do is because you can name your crew.
Yeah.
Is you give them all the names of your friends and then...
Watch as your incompetency murders the people whom you love.
But it would be great if your friends could control themselves, which is kind of what you get in Catastronauts. Yeah.
Yes. The difference, though, with Catastronauts and, say, Overcooked is you can easily come back. I mean, not easily, but you can definitely come back from, well, a catastrophe.
Yeah.
So in Overcooked, you're like, yeah, we cooked this. Oh, it's, well, we're done. Mm. Whereas in this one, you can be like, look, if we really knuckle down, we can work together and really...
I have not experienced the team doing poorly and then...
You haven't, but we have.
Because mostly the problems are caused by me.
Potentially, maybe.
Hey, I threw the fire extinguisher into space. Is that...
Was that the right move,
So I tried to use the fire extinguisher and hucked it into fire? Good or bad?
My favorite thing to realize in that game is that fire, it'll kill you, but you'll just come back. So just running through flames.
Yeah.
A flame in the whole ship. Very good.
Mm. And there, because we, you know, it's on Switch, sometimes the Switch controllers, and I don't know if this is just in general or just our controllers, but they can be a bit janky. So you're like, I'm trying to go left, but I keep going down.
Especially with Catastrophe, we do have one...
The right...
One so controller is...
This is good advice for both of you, but also for any listeners with a Switch. Any early bought Joy-Cons or Joy-Cons that came with a controller, came with a console, the right Joy-Con has a known issue when it comes to... the issues that you're having, and it's under warranty for Nintendo, so you can't get it replaced.
Oh, that's good.
It was pretty much like it had something to do with the way that, because there's a sensor in the right stick, the right controller, but it's flipped. It means that the things are being pointed at you. It's the whole thing.
Okay. Well, maybe it's not just our fault then.
Yeah, well, but the thing is, I kind of only notice it with Catastronauts.
I have noticed it a few other games.
Oh, okay.
Like the Slug Cat game and a few other things.
And just your Switch is also not near your TV, which means that the control...
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So yeah, those kind of bit of issues. And it is a game where you almost want precision.
Yeah.
Because like one stuff up and it's just like, ah, yes, the chaos has ensued. And it kind of has leaned into that comedy kind of aspect that sort of Overcooked does as well, which is fine, but I can feel that may get tiresome after a while. And like Overcooked, I feel that this game will or can get tiresome after a while.
These games, for some reason, have such a short shelf life of like, they're so much fun to play like maybe once or twice, but for some reason, by your third and especially by your fourth, you're like, I hate this game. Overcooked is a game I don't like anymore.
Oh yeah, same. I really enjoy playing.
Me too.
What about Overcooked 2?
Haven't
actually played
Overcooked
2. That one's incredible. More of the same. And like I said, I love Overcooked.
But like, yeah, we played Overcooked and it was like really a lot of fun time. Yeah. We had a good time with it. But then you get to a point where it's like, okay, either I don't have enough stars to continue to unlock the next thing and I have to go back and do really well on the early levels and I just cannot be bothered doing that.
Yeah.
And then you kind of get a bit sour at it and you're like, this gem strokes and you like, you know.
Well, the moment a game like that should just be fun and satisfying becomes like frustrating. I don't think it becomes the wrong kind of frustrating. That game shouldn't be hard.
Mm.
It should be frustrating when you're playing with others because you're not cooperating, but it shouldn't be hard.
Yeah.
Loco Roco, I think, is a really good example. I mean, I'm still playing that off and on, if people remember my review, and then I'll review Loco Roco 2 when I inevitably get it. But that game, obviously you have to collect little dudes over the course of plums. You got to eat plums. But if you don't get a massive amount of guys at the end, you still progress.
Yeah.
And that's really nice.
Like, you only got 4 out of 20. That's cool.
That's okay. Keep playing. You're enjoying the game, so that's fine. We're not going to make you redo the levels again and again. And maybe it'll change when I get to like maybe the fifth or sixth world.
Loco Roco still has that same thing because there's parts where like platforms won't activate unless you've got a certain amount of fellas.
Yeah, but it never like stops you from finishing the level. Yeah.
No. But then you'd have to go back.
Yeah, if you wanted to.
If I wanted to collect the things, which we all know I don't.
Yeah. Sorry. I thought for some reason that there was paths. Like,
No. Collectibles aren't for us.
No. I understand that. Look, I've seen
you
both.
Show us a collectible, we will turn our heads and refuse. If we could actively jump
how many,
over
how many achievements did you get in Grizz?
Every single one.
Yeah. I'll let you know I've never on purpose gotten an achievement.
You've never 100%ed a game.
Achievements are a waste.
You've never, like, 100%ed a game. Actually,
I think 100%ed Hollow Knight back when it first came out.
That's 100% anymore.
That's true. Mm. That's on them. That's not on me.
No, it's on you. You haven't finished the new content.
Well, I ain't gonna.
I thought you liked that game.
Love it.
Not enough.
But also, I have yet to go to the new content of Hollow Knight. I'm like,
I bought it, I think, the week it came out, and I have not touched it.
Well, I mean, just a quick diversion to Hollow Knight, because it is it's one of those, you know, Metroidvania platformer games, and you need to be extremely, really good at it. And after you play it for so long, you become really good at it, and then you stop playing it, and then it's like, hey, a new content, and the boss is extremely hard, the hardest you'll ever face. The moment you step back in, you're like, I've forgotten everything.
Yeah, you're like, my fingers became idiots in the interim.
So what if I did? Oh, I'm dead. Not for me. So, yeah, that's sort of, I guess, a problem of expansion sometimes. Yeah.
No, I think that's a problem. Just be good forever.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like Doucher's idea.
Metroidvanias are relatively similar. Just get good at one, stay good at all of them.
Okay. So, yeah, so this game... While it hasn't yet gotten tiresome, I can see this game getting tiresome.
Give me maybe one more session of it. Yeah, I think I got one more good session left.
No. Don't give us any more sessions so then it stays good, because I reckon next one we're like, oh, it's...
Yeah. That's the thing.
Although, if you had like housemates or something, which I guess in your current situation, this exact situation, it would be a kind of thing where if you were both like dedicated to being good at it, it would be fun. Same with Overcooked, but... Neither of you care enough, so...
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yes. But as you're pointing out, this is great in, say, a share house. This would be great for couch co-op. This would be great if you have, say, you know, three other people you can play with. And if you don't, and you're doing this solo...
Don't buy it.
You can't.
If you're one guy, don't buy it. Yeah. If you're two guys, buy it, maybe.
Maybe. Even with two people, I would say three or more.
If you're four guys, it's a must buy.
It's the kind of thing where if you're like, maybe you're still in high school and you're like, you're having one of those classic high school get-together play video game nights. Yeah. I can imagine if you're starting at 6 p.m. and be like, we are finishing this game tonight. That could be quite fun.
Yeah.
You know, like back in the day, we do that with like Halo or, you know, any game. Little Big Planet, I did it with a bunch where you're like, in this night, we are clocking the game.
Yeah, I did that with Gauntlet.
Classic days.
And other kind of games like that. So, yeah.
I didn't go to parties like that.
You're one of them cool dudes.
Yeah, I went to ones where people had fun.
You just make
it. Oh! That's rude!
Got him! Anyway,
you're just making out and breakdancing and all your butt.
Pretty much breakdancing and telling people not to kiss me, even though they want to real bad.
Classic, man. Classic. So cool.
So cool.
Man, I'm just jealous of your high school career. If only I was him.
So this game is a lot of fun, and if you're looking for a game that is couch co-op, because surprisingly that is a genre that... There's not a lot these days.
The Switch has heaps, but I guess they're just like, hey, there's two controllers built into this system, so it'd be crazy not to use it.
Yeah.
But yeah, the PlayStation and the Xbox One is just like, hey, don't even
play on the ground. Online!
Yeah. Hey, you're buying a second controller, don't.
Yeah. So, hey, if you're after a game where you can play with your mates on a couch, this is a great game. I give this four thumbs if you have four friends,
thumb for one less friend.
Actually, that's a good way of doing it. I was just going to say if you have zero friends, zero thumbs. But no, that's a good way of doing it. Yeah. So depending how many friends you have, add or subtract a thumb.
That's awesome. To a maximum the ultimate score is you play it and one guy watches.
Yeah, because four friends, unless you're watching, maybe a
four friends and your mom.
Four people playing. And a coach.
Yeah.
Hey, idiot, fire.
Actually, we might say some silly things, but four players and one person in command might actually
pretty
make
good.
That game
somebody
all
in
right.
command standing right next to your TV with one of those long sticks to point at the things for you to go like, and take.
As long as the stick's long enough to hit you if you make a mistake.
You can extend it.
Hey, idiot.
It's also a whip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
That's a high score. So... My review this week is something that we probably should have addressed last week, because something that just went unchecked whilst I was rambling about Metroid is the fact that one of the biggest video game releases of the year happened.
What's that?
Yeah, that's right. A game that, look, the internet have just been screaming about. It's been 14 years in the making.
14 years?
14 years. That's almost Duke Nukem Forever levels. It's insane. It's made by a very big game company, Square Enix, and everyone's really, really jazzed about it. and none of us have any interest in it, and that is the 16th game in the Kingdom Hearts series.
What?
Kingdom Hearts 3.
Hell yeah. Hang on, what? 16?
Kingdom Hearts, they've all got great names, all the middle ones, where it's like Kingdom Hearts 411, Hearts over Echo.
I've never played a Kingdom Heart, so...
This is a giant
surprise that there are 16 of these.
So Kingdom Hearts 3 follows Kingdom Hearts, Chain of Memories, Kingdom Hearts 2, Rechain of Memories, Kingdom Hearts Coded, Kingdom Hearts 358/2 Days, mm-hmm. Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep, Kingdom Hearts Recoded, Kingdom Hearts Dream Drop Distance, and then there's a 1.5 Remix, which is re-release of the first one. X... Then there's 2.5 Remix, which is a re-release of the second one. Then there's Unchained X. And then there is 2.8 Final Chapter Prologue, which is, I think, a sequel to 2, but contains some of the games that got released after 2.5, but before 3.
These are also spread out across quite a few different consoles.
Yeah.
PSP, I hate this.
Probably then, the N-Gage.
Then there is the VR experience, and then finally Kingdom Hearts 3. So, Jackson,
look, I stopped paying attention after maybe Kingdom Hearts 1.
I played Kingdom Hearts 1 up until I got to the point where it was like, go back through all of the levels and collect these things. And I was like...
It said collect.
No thank you, Kingdom Hearts.
You know what I'm about? Not collecting things.
I already played those levels, Kingdom Hearts. Nice try.
So, I haven't played any of them except for I did a boss fight in Kingdom Hearts 2 at my friend's house against Jafar.
Uh-huh, sure.
So my okay.
And that battle has a different battle system to the usual game, so I don't know how the fight
jump works. Around, hit him with a keyblade, baby.
Oh wait, maybe it does.
Keyblade.
Swap out to be what's his name? Goofy Duck? Goofy? He's
Goofy.
Just Goofy.
So the main characters of the game, I believe, with my deep knowledge, is Sora, who is the main character, and he is a key guardian.
He lives on an island in the first one till he finds a magic door.
He has big shorts and heaps of zippers.
He's got massive shorts.
Oh, man, that's so good.
big shorts.
My knowledge, or what I assumed Kingdom Hearts was, was just Final Fantasy, but with the occasional Disney character around.
It's more like,
and that's what I just assumed.
It's more Disney with your occasional Final Fantasy character around.
And I figured it was just that, and my headcanon was they're kind of all just toys, and it was like someone playing
in
a toy box.
How wrong you are, Joel Salmon. How wrong you are.
So what is the story of Kingdom Hearts?
Do you want me to tell you the story? Because I know Kingdom Hearts 1 up until I stopped playing. And then do you want to try and take it from there?
Sora, who has big shorts and big shoes.
Yeah.
Voiced by Haley Joel Osment, which is very important.
Okay.
Is a cheerful teenager who lives in the Destiny Islands and has been best friends with two people whose names I don't know.
Could be Kobo and Sakura, let's say.
Riku and...
Okay.
Kyrie?
I don't know. I don't remember. I remember Donald Duck.
and he vaguely remembered Goofy Duck.
Goofy Duck. You're an idiot. Goofy and Donald Duck are characters you know.
I thought he was like Goofy Dog for a brief second. Anyway, go on.
They're three friends go on a journey to other worlds, but then the Heartless appear.
Mm-hmm.
Which is bad, but then Sora gets a Keyblade, which is good, which sets off the events of the next 16 games. It's hot in here, but I'm sweating just reading this.
I think in the first one, you have to collect all of the classic Disney princesses whose power is being used. I also know, and I don't remember where I learned this, but there's a fight you do where you're introduced to the Heartless on the island chain, and you get like no experience from it, but you can't die. You just have to fight them and then go, but you can just keep fighting them so that you can level up to your maximum before you've even played the game. You got to do it for like hours and hours and hours, but it's an option.
Okay, so yay grinding.
Yeah, you can just at the beginning grind for a million years and then you'll be like King Joe
grounded.
of the.
This is like, well, I like the style of the turn-based system, that kind of thing.
I don't think it's turn-based.
I don't think it's turn-based.
So it's not at all like a Final Fantasy or 7.
No, you just leap around and you wallop them with your Keyblade, and you can swap between
but
being...
You, Donald and Goofy are accompanying you. You can swap between them to help King Mickey.
Yeah, King Mickey's gone missing, possibly.
Maybe. So
Mickey Goofy Mouse. Has a shield. Donald Duck knows magic.
So Mickey Mouse, yes,
yes. Yeah. Mickey Mouse has gone missing.
He's the king.
Okay.
And your hub world is a town full of Disney characters no one likes. Maybe.
Okay.
And
you fight Cloud in Hercules.
Okay. A Cloud or the character Cloud?
No, the Final Fantasy character Cloud.
Okay. Wow. All right. Okay. I honestly thought this was turn-based, I guess.
I like that that's one thing that you are stuck in. You're like, what?
It just...
No, it's like a hack and slash game. It's, look, it's...
There's so much that I thought I knew about Kingdom Hearts.
I am very tempted to buy Kingdom Hearts 3 and try and play it without knowing anything about the games and being like, I get it now. I won't understand.
I finally understand Kingdom Hearts.
So basically, I would just like to review the concept of Kingdom Hearts existing and everyone's reactions. So I got people to tweet me. So this is actually a group review. Got people to tweet me just... what their thoughts about Kingdom Hearts were. People didn't really have that much of an insight. I got Matthew said keys are better than swords, I guess, and also Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, that is true. That is the game.
Boy has too many zippers. Loves Disney.
He has just the right amount of zippers.
They've got people tweeting like, Kingdom Hearts 3 is out today. Thank you for the world not imploding before I could experience this moment. Everyone just screaming at each other.
People are very excited. Yeah, people love the Kingdom Hearts.
There's a lot of hype going on.
People, look, the most common thing if you look at the Kingdom Hearts 3 hashtag is, I am literally crying right now, guys. Oh my God, the nostalgia.
Yeah. I just did a quick search. There's people there with holding boxes of tissues. I assume ready to cry. About what? I do not know.
All I remember is that the Nightmare Before Christmas level was really, really annoying. I got lost heaps. I was very frustrated with it, but you got a cool keyblade out of it.
Hell
hang
yeah.
Hang on, there's more than one keyblade?
Yeah, every level you get like that level, and they're all Disney movies, like worlds based on, and you get a that level version of the keyblade, and they have different stats. And in some levels you go in, so if you go to the Little Mermaid level, you become a mermaid. And that's kind of neat. Yeah, it's
yeah, and you use the keyblade to unlock keyholes, which reveal hearts, which is good because the heartless are bad.
Yeah, they're trying to take your heart. I don't know. I watched someone play Kingdom Hearts 2. I watched someone play the first part, and you were a different kid, and I was like, "Who's this kid?" And my friend was like, "It's Sora," but it wasn't. And I was like, no, it's not. And he was like, yes, it is. And I was like, I don't want to learn. And that's where...
I think Birth by Sleep, you play young Sora.
I think from memory, there are three versions of Sora. One who is Sora's soul, maybe. One who is Sora and one who is a digital Sora. That can't be right. Anyway,
I hate this.
So I've just clicked on I've opened up Wikipedia because I was just curious, and I think this sums it up. Kingdom Hearts 358/2 Days is the fifth installment of Kingdom Hearts, takes place near the end of the original Kingdom Hearts, continuing to parallel Kingdom Hearts' chain of memories.
Oh, great. I get it now.
So the fifth game in the series takes place towards the end of the first game, but is parallel to the second game in the series.
If that don't just beat all.
I am so happy that a game that is this convoluted and this confusing and is making this many people scream and cry exists.
It must be good. People are excited.
I'm going to play Kingdom Hearts 3. I just need to finish Nier Automata because, to be honest, that's the real reason why I haven't played it yet, because that game still rules.
Well, that's good. I'm glad it's still good.
Yeah. I reviewed and gave it four thumbs and a knock, and look, standing by that very strongly because... Very, very good. And yeah, look, at some point, I've now currently been playing a lot of like Japanese-inspired RPGs with Bayonetta, Nier Automata, and I guess No More Heroes if you want to count that. So look, maybe Kingdom Hearts 3.
You gotta bite the bullet, dude.
Someone in Thumbcramps has got to do it, and maybe that guy is me.
Yeah.
Please keep tweeting me your thoughts on Kingdom Hearts 3. I like reading them without knowing anything that is happening.
So what are you giving it? What's your final thumbs?
The continuing existence of the Kingdom Hearts franchise and Kingdom Hearts 3 finally being released and the storyline and the 16 games in the series. 5 thumbs, baby.
Yeah! That's what I was hoping for.
It's never going to be anything less. But there's also five versions of me, and they're all giving it five thumbs.
Five parallel thumbs.
Okay.
And my thumb score takes place in the third half.
Thumbs by sleep.
And yeah, my review takes place in the second third of Kingdom Hearts Recoded.
Oh, that's good to know.
Which runs parallel to Zammit's review of Catastronauts.
Dream Drop Distance.
Oh yeah. Well, all in all, this episode gets, 17 thumbs and a knuck to 13 thumbs and a knuck, depending on how many friends you are, friends you have, or alternatively, 358, like
358 slash two
that,
thumbs,
because you may be living in a parallel you.
If there's anyone out there who charts the total thumb score of our episodes, please, at the end of this episode, just do the infinity symbol.
Send us a graph.
It is potentially maybe a 37 thumb and a knuck, or a 33 thumb and a knuck score. Unless you don't count some of those parallel universes, then I guess...
When either it's all canon or none of it is.
So,
see, now Thumb Cramps now exists in a world as convoluted and confusing as Kingdom Hearts, and that makes me happy.
Yeah, that's good. That's
hey,
what
no, but seriously,
so...
someone make a graph of our thumb scores, please. I would love.
I want
to
know
see
if patterns emerge.
So everyone go and grab that stuffed toy of your Goofy duck,
yeah,
and hold it tight as we all venture into the Kingdom of Hearts together.
Kingdom Hearts. Oh, Kingdom. No, actually,
No. I had the same thought where I was like, I get it now. I don't. I played the first game and I don't. I played two thirds of the first game.
You didn't get to the part.
Did you know
that,
you can make a spaceship?
Yes.
Out of gummy?
Yeah.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
And I've been confused. And hold on to your thumb blades and unlock thumb holes.
Thumb blades. Gross.
Thanks for listening. If you want to watch just how competent or incompetent we are at video games, head on over to twitch.tv/sanspantsradio, where you'll see us and other members of the Sanspants Network live stream some of our favorite video games.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. Their meditations range to fit your needs each day, from anxiety and stress, relaxation and focus, to building habits and taking care of your physical well-being. They even have expert-led talks on topics such as tips for overcoming stress and anxiety, handling grief, improving self-esteem, caring for relationships, and more. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.